Okay, everyone, it's 6 o'clock. Well, I shall read out the statement. Please note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, the other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Identification Services Officer who is administering the meeting. Okay. So good evening, everyone. Welcome to this evening's meeting of the Loughborough Area Committee. I think we'll begin with any apologies. I know there's been a few apologies.
We've had apologies from Councillor Baldwin, Councillor Bolton, potentially Councillor Campbell, I don't think he's here, and Councillor Parton.
Right, and also believe one member has to leave earlier. So I have to know that. Okay, thanks for that. Moving on to the minutes of the previous meeting. Is there any comments of factual accuracy in those minutes? Any comments? Any matters arising that won't be dealt with later on in this meeting? Okay, can I ask, are these minutes approved?
Minutes?
Okay, I'm getting the sense that these minutes are approved. Moving on to item 3, which is disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests? I'm seeing no one put their hand up, so we're seeing there are none. Under item 4...
Sorry, Chair. For that. On legal professional expenses, through the Council, I'm a trustee of Perrin Hall, so just a personal but not a professional.
Thank you
for
that.
Yeah, also trustee of
course
covered
community. Thank you for that. There's no other comments, we shall move on to item 4, which is questions under committee procedure 12.8. There were no questions submitted. So we can move on to the substantive item for this evening, which is the Loughborough Special Expenses Budget. Which is on page 9 and 10, received. So, which officer wishes to speak to that?
Chair Jeff Parker, Chief Executive. I'll just give a very brief introduction, and Leslie can provide further details once I've done that, if you'd like that. But basically, what you have here is a short covering report, which sets out what's been assumed in projecting the Loughborough Special Expenses through to next year, and the purpose is really to look at what headroom there might be, where expenditure might be prioritised. But I think what the covering report makes pretty clear is that in order to balance the budget at current expenditure levels projected into next year, there's already been an assumption of a 1.75% increase in the Loughborough tax base, and that will be the first increase for a number of years. So having made that assumption on the kind of resources side, the budget as currently projected won't have any unallocated funds. There won't be any headroom naturally occurring. So if anything is going to be spent on something different, it would need to be from within that pot of resources. So the appendix just sets out the 1920 original budget, and obviously the columns there hopefully are fairly explanatory into the subjective categories that budget is set for. So that's what you have, Chair.
Thanks for that. See, there's a number of items detailed here. Is there any statements any officers wish to make, or any questions on these that the councillors have on these? So this gives us a flavour of what will be in next year's budget, and you're stating basically that as such there's no particular headroom. Is this suggesting that there could be some reprioritisation or what?
Well, what's happened over recent years, and Leslie may be able to give you a fuller explanation, Chair, is that we've had, in the past, we've had a bit of spare money, sort of 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. That's basically been eaten up because, as I said, the rate hasn't increased, because we wouldn't propose an increase to the Loughborough rate when it's obviously fully funded. But that we've now reached a point where there will need to be an increase in the Loughborough special rate next year to stand still. So that's why. It's because any kind of capacity, if you like, has now been absorbed through cost pressures in the past 2 or 3 years, which are really just the effects of inflation and contractual changes on the things that are provided for by Loughborough expenses.
Councillor Mayor.
Cheers, thank you. Councillor Mayor, I think this is the first time we've actually seen any income on the Loughborough Special Expenses budget. And I think we requested it last time round, and it's good to see the income. I just had some questions around the income before we moved on to the general. The Town Centre Management, it has an income in there of £28,000. Can I ask, where's that derived from?
Sylvie Wright, Head of Leisure and Culture. Mainly that income line is due to Town Centre consents, so that operate within mainly in the market area, but on Biggin Street as well. So those, you know, when you see things like the potato man and the flower and all of those sort of or promotions, so it's mainly income. That's the majority of it come from those sources.
Okay, no, thank you for that one. And then the final one on income again is Loughborough Cemetery, and that's a substantial amount of income, £96,500. What do we pay over and above that isn't paid for by people burying their dead there? Because I thought it was neutral to us.
There is a net cost where we've got the recharges on of 45,100 on 45,100 on the budget.
Yeah.
So it isn't completely. It is subsidised through the Loughborough special. It isn't completely offset.
Right. Okay. So
costs.
So what is the 45,100 made from? Because I can understand that we paid the maintenance 120,000 to look after open spaces in the ID Verdi contract. Is that over and above that amount?
Well, the 120,000 is different. If you look at the Loughborough Cemetery line, mm-hmm. you've got the contract costs in there, 74,200, utilities, other costs, 10,100, support service recharges. They'd be the cost of the bereavement team. Mm-hmm. So they're looking after managing the actual bookings at the cemetery, dealing with those bereaved families, making those bookings and managing the where the plots are, keep the records and things like that. So those costs are there. We've got the direct contract costs and the costs of the people in my team to manage the bereavement service.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
And probably if I just say we do obviously that income line is there. I think our charging regime recognises we do have a lower rate for people who are buried that live within the town. There's a middle rate for people that live within the borough and a higher rate for people that live outside of the borough. So the fact that people that lived in the town contribute through special expenses is recognised within our charging structure.
Okay, maybe that's something through the chair that we look at for the new cemetery, when we look at the new cemetery, to see if we can make it cost neutral to the Loughborough special expenses. And then that means that we've got then some money for us to then spend on other things within the town, potentially.
We have benchmarked cemetery costs, mm-hmm. and we try and keep up with the costs of other local charities, and there is quite a variance there, and I think we're about at the median at the moment, but I'm certainly happy to do a review of those costs and put some options together in the future. Obviously, I think there are differing arrangements for local authorities. Some like to keep their charges reasonable and quite low so that it's affordable for people, and other authorities do take the full cost recovery approach and charge a higher rate. I think, you know, there's a balance really for members there that they have to consider what they want to do.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. I noticed in the figures that some of the items, it's a percentage of which is funded by the local special expenses, like 23% CCTV, 50% Carolyn Tower. Is that percentage something that's reviewed annually? Is what the right percentage should be each year?
I think that's actually something, as I've said in the background information, that the budgets have been predetermined and set by council as part of the budget process. The percentages are fixed, so it's a fixed percentage, the same percentage each year. That just gives sort of stability into this budget and within the rate.
How often is that percentage? Is it just fixed for
an
enduring basis, or is it
just a fixed rate? Yeah, it's not reviewed.
Right, okay.
So, for example, when members have proposed a change, it's been proposed that a proportion should be covered by the local rate. So something that is 50-50.
Yeah.
That's probably been proposed many, many years ago as deemed to be a fair apportionment.
Yeah.
Other things are supported by a calculation.
Yeah.
So I suspect the Loughborough CCTV item, there has been an apportionment of where that service is, and that could, if that configuration changed, then the share that Loughborough
That was my mind. You saw Carolyn Tower 50-50, and that kind of feels like an enduring fixed thing.
Yeah.
But when you see something like 23% CCTV, considering that is something that might change year in year, is, you know,
that's always been.
Yeah, it's just some feel it's the right thing. You fix it and enduring. Others should we review it on a 4-yearly basis or whatever. It was just a question. Councillor Mercer.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask Matthew. I actually agree with you, Councillor Mayor, for once on the subject, unusually. It's something we asked last about 18 months ago when we did discuss the cemetery. But if there's a sudden increase in the number of people, say from Leicester, who want to be buried here because it's a lot cheaper, would you move quite quickly to increase the price? Because we obviously wouldn't want a new cemetery flooded by Leicester residents if it was a lot cheaper to be buried over here. Not necessarily Leicester, but to the outside of Charnwood.
Through you, Chair, if you look at the pricing structure, I think the structure that we've got is the Loughborough residents pay a set rate, then residents of the borough pay double that, and residents outside the borough pay triple. We could look at the stages between there to charge people from outside of the borough more, if that's something that members wanted to do. Our new cemetery does have in excess of 200 years capacity, based on about 60 burials a year, so we wouldn't want to discourage people, because obviously they might go and be buried elsewhere, and then we might not get any of that income in. So I think it's a balance to be struck, if you like. It needs careful consideration. So obviously we could try, instead of charging triple fees, we could charge quadruple or five times or 10 times or whatever members like. But there is a point in which people will go elsewhere and you don't see any of that income at all. Or they'll choose to do something else, maybe cremation or a natural burial ground somewhere else in the borough.
Councillor Draycott?
Yes, Chair. At this meeting last year, most of the members of the committee had great concern because they weren't able to influence or have any input at all into the expenses. So we were hoping, I'm sure this is a general feeling, that this would have come back tonight with some sort of flexibility in it that would have allowed us to have put some growth bids forward, because that was the whole idea of bringing it to the earlier meeting, so that those ideas could go back to officers, come back in December, and be possibly included for consideration at the main budget meeting in February. But again, there's not that opportunity. So my first question would be, what then happens next year that the Chief Exec has referred to, where there's likely to be an increase that will hopefully allow some sort of input by this committee? Is that how I've understood it correctly, Chair? And just my last point would be about burials. I think is a really sensitive subject, right? And the cost of a funeral these days is absolutely horrendous for people. And for us to be talking about possibly putting up the charges 10 times for people who live in Leicester, I just think is outrageous, right? And I think we need to take a more sensitive approach to this. The policy that's been explained to us, to me, sounds sound. Local people who pay their council tax, etc., get a reduced rate. Those a bit further out, a bit more, and those from outside of the area pay a higher rate. I think that's absolute right way of doing it, and I do not think we should be talking in those terms, Chair. Thank you.
If I could just say, Chair, I probably shouldn't use the example 10 times. What I was trying to say is...
I wasn't blaming the officer at all. It was referred to the members, Chair.
I think it's our policy as a council to decide on our charging structure. It's free for us to decide. I wasn't advocating that particular approach, but we could review charges and set the charges as we see fit as a council.
Okay. Just come back on the first point about the increases and the headroom. What's been assumed, and it's on page one of the report, is that there's a 1.75% increase in the tax base, so growth in taxpayers,
yeah.
And 1.99% increase in the rate. Now that's the maximum we're allowed, and that's the maximum we're allowed as a council. But if the council wanted to increase the Loughborough special rate by a greater amount, that difference would have to be adjusted for in the main council tax. So the assumption that's been made is that everything's 1.99%. If you said we wanted to increase the Loughborough rate by, say, 5%, that would produce a different number. But that would then mean that the rest of the budget would have to be adjusted, because that wouldn't balance either. So we've just assumed for planning purposes that the standard increase has been applied across all of the councils, in other words council tax and the look for expenses, because the one's the flip side of the other. And so all that's happened really is that when the current expenditure has been re-estimated for next year's prices, in other words adjusted for inflation, that 1.99% is needed just to cover all those costs. So it's not that we're trying to create headroom or remove headroom. That's the product of the way the calculations are done. Obviously, if we calculated that and we had a £20,000 spare, we'd be saying there's £20,000 for you to reallocate, but that's the way the calculation has worked. And that's why I said at the outset, if there were to be any new items introduced or changes to fit within that amount of money, something else would have to be adjusted to compensate. And that can be done, but the room to do that is quite limited, because a lot of the charges into the Loughborough expenses are actually pre-contracted. So things like all the grounds maintenance is actually the Loughborough expenses share of the council's contract. It's not a separately negotiated part. So this is why it's difficult to try and find room for manoeuvre, because a lot of the costs are as the chair said earlier, that amount is what council decided should be paid for by the Loughborough expenses. All the expenses on sports grounds in Loughborough are met by Loughborough expenses. So unless you redefine what Loughborough expenses actually are, which would be a decision council would make, and they could do that, but those costs would still be incurred by the council. So you'd have another problem, which is paying all them out of the rest of the budget. So things can move, but we've not assumed that we're going to change the definitions or change the increases beyond the normal methods that we would use.
Yes, Councillor Smilowitz. Really through you, Chair, to Matt. Of the 60, what would there be a percentage of? Sort of 90% local residents being buried, or is it 50-50, or just a feeling? I'm not asking for exact numbers, obviously.
Through you, Chair, I think the vast majority of the people that use the particular foreign cemetery are residents of Loughborough. Not all of them, but I think the vast majority of them are. That situation might change. There's a lot of pressure on burial spaces in surrounding parishes, and it might be that those parishes try and manage their capacity through putting their prices up, or they might not have any capacity left, which may encourage more burials in our own cemetery. But at the moment, the vast majority are local residents.
That's fine, thank you.
Councillor Mayor?
Yeah, we're always in a conundrum with this Loughborough special rate, because as the Chief Executive and Mary of Councillor Craig have highlighted, is that we can't actually increase the amount that we charge extra to the residents. The 1.99 is pretty much fixed because of the overall budget. The fact that it says it's a special expense isn't like a parish preset. We can't alter it massively. So the only two things that we could do is either take something out, which is then difficult because we're contractually obliged to pay for certain things, or look at the income. And we've never had a chance to look at the income before. And I'm very loath to say actually we should charge X person, for example, the fairmen more, or the market traders more, or I should say the town centre management charges more, because I don't know how that income is derived. So it's very difficult then for us to justify actually even considering this, because if we can't influence it in any way, if we can't comment in any way to say actually this should be this much or this should be less, or why can't we have this instead of this, I really do find it frustrating that we get it presented, we have a budget of 1.3 million and we can't affect it in any way. And that's the frustration that I wanted to share with the committee.
Yeah. I suppose related to that, I was looking at the incomes, and of course November fair is the one net income item. And so just from my understanding, I know that the numbers will be derived in a certain way and you'll inflation adjust and so on, but how do you calculate the net income from November fair then? So how do you, because if you have a contract, you know what it's going to cost year on year. How do you work out what you expect to get from November fair? And it's
Sylvie Wright, Head of Leisure and Culture, through the chair. Basically we have fees and charges established for the different pitches across the historically, the most valuable pictures are actually within the centre of the fair marketplace. And so what we tend to do, we tend to put an inflationary increase on those pictures each year. So I think this year we'll be looking at around a 3%. It tends to be more above inflation rather than less, if I'm honest. Because obviously we need to kind of keep abreast of any increase in fees to us, it's not necessarily, they're not all equal, that's what I'm saying. So the fees are different for the different pitches. In terms of the costs, obviously we try and reduce the costs as much as possible, and the controllable costs that are within the fare are mainly things like the traffic management costs. We've just been out through a tender exercise through there, so basically we tendered for a company and we have managed to reduce the cost slightly, but then you get other suppliers, like maybe the county, putting their prices up as well. So it's always you're always trying to kind of make sure that we retain the fare in profit, but each year obviously the costs are not exactly the same. We have to do things like safety inspections. We have to employ different companies to deal with all the lights and things like that. So basically, it's making sure that we keep the fees and charges as competitive as possible. And we do benchmark work as well in order to do that. But you're not really comparing with apples with oranges, because it's very difficult to do that.
So when you set a net income of 5,100, is that there because you desire to have a net income, or is that a kind of safety buffer to ensure it covers its costs and it's in profit?
Well, we look at. Do you want to
answer? I mean, obviously, with the fare, we'd obviously seek to try and break even on that activity. So obviously, we'd set the budget to try and to do that, and obviously Sylvia would work hard to try and maintain the cost of it as well as bringing the income. So obviously we budget monitor that line quite closely, because if it started to cost us a free put, then there would be perhaps a question of do Loughborough Special want to fund the cost of running the fair.
Thank you for that. Councillor Morgan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Councillor Morgan, I wonder through you, Chair, whether Matt could sort of give an idea of the number of users of the various parks. So we've got obviously Derby Road, Lodge Farm, Mountbatten, Park Road, and also the Shelford Golf Course listed out in the sports grounds, with quite sort of varying costs or subsidies over income, etc. expenditure. So, for instance, under Derby Road, we have an employee cost, but we don't have any employee costs under the others. And I just wondered whether that's actually directly an employee cost, for instance, for Derby Road, or whether actually it's a cost centre that's then spread between the others. And just really an idea of how many users, how many residents are actually using those fields, and just a little bit more explanation as to income. Because again, you know, various amounts of income, and I'm assuming the NNDR sort of lumps that appear are relevant to the actual buildings that are actually on Derby Road in Nampanton, compared to the others that don't really have substantial buildings, etc.
Okay, I'll answer that. The first question is that at Derby Road we do directly employ two part-time people who open and close the changing rooms, do cleaning and things at Derby Road. So that's a direct employee cost solely for that cost centre. So that's why it's in that employee costs column there, and not in the support service recharges column. And at the other sites that we don't do that. Number of users of the sites, I don't have that information to hand with me tonight, but I'm happy to supply it. Most of the football pitches, I'd say, carry about two or three games a week, which is about maximum carrying capacity at the moment. I'm currently working with the FA to get a programme to improve the pitch quality that will take the carrying capacity up to three, but we can't do any more than three games on a pitch a week. And cricket's pretty well used, so we're probably at capacity with cricket as well, with the carrying capacity there. Park Road, the sports facilities there, the bowls club, the bowls club and the cricket are leased to the club, so they're on a long lease. The tennis is free, so there's no income on there at all. Golf usage, I can supply some figures, really. So I'd say of all the sites, we for football, we've probably got a little bit of capacity at Derby Road, which is the one that needs upping. The rest, we're pretty much maxed out.
And on the income derived from those, a bit like previous discussions, Councillor Rupert and Mayor and Mercer raised about differential charging.
Yeah.
Do we also operate differential charging on pitch hire for sort of Loughborough resident clubs versus non-residents?
No, we don't. And we have quite that income doesn't come straight to us. We have a contractual arrangement with Ivy Verdi for the pitch hire income. At the start of the contract 5 years ago, it was agreed that Ivy Verdi would pay us £50,000 a year in acknowledgement of the facilities they had to hire out. That amount increases by inflation year on year, and if that amount is exceeded, there's a share. So Ivy Verdi aren't actually hitting that income figure at the moment, so they are making up the shortfall. The council are responsible for setting the fees and charges policy, so if we stepped up the fees and charges, which we could choose to do, it might not have an immediate impact on the income that comes in, because Ivy Verdi is still making that shortfall, that gap up at the moment. So should point that out really. But I can get some usage figures and circulate them around.
And one last question if I can, which is, apologies Chair, which is actually the ease of booking. And I know that the Browns Lane, for instance, we now have online booking through the council website, and I was just wondering at what point do we actually have online booking through the council websites for things like tennis courts and other pitches?
Yeah, I have asked Ivy Verdi about online booking. It's booking of pitches is something that's their responsibility in the contract, and I do want them to take online booking up. It's something that we need to pursue with them to make it easier. Basically, a lot of our sports pitch bookings aren't casual bookings; they're block bookings. If clubs book more than 10 hires, they don't have to pay VAT. So we tend to get the same clubs using the same pitches each week, and so the number of transactions is quite small. But we can make it a lot easier, and I think we need to look into that.
Thank you.
Councillor Brennan.
Yes, Councillor Brennan. I had some related questions. I'm really glad that you asked about the sports grounds, Councillor Morgan. So I guess the one I know about a bit is Shelthorpe Golf Course. I visited the golf course last week and spoke to the gentleman who runs an academy from there, and a member of staff from Ivy Verdi, and I think they both felt that perhaps a bit more could be done to promote the service. So I just wanted to ask really, what's the mechanism for reviewing demand for the sports grounds and perhaps the golf course in particular, and looking at how we can increase demand? And is that the responsibility still of the council, or is that with Ivy Verdi in their contract?
Through you, Chair. I think we've got a shared responsibility to promote the golf course. It is a council facility. We are funding it, but our contractors do get the income from it, although they pay that through to us. So I think it's in both of our interests to jointly promote it. The use of the golf academy was a means of trying to generate more users into the golf course. So we work with the personnel, the coach there, to get those up and running. But certainly we can do more. We are exploring opportunities there. There are golf courses, municipal golf courses, that have taken to extend their reach through providing foot golf and frisbee golf. And certainly the foot golf in this area could be quite... could bring in a significant amount of income, but it would require some investment to set that up. So we've been working through those options there to see if we can do that. But that has worked well in other areas, and I think with the student population, things like foot golf and frisbee golf could be quite good. So it's something that we look I think with golf, we have a certain target market. We haven't got a clubhouse. It's a par three course. It is 18 holes, but we cannot provide the same experience as a sort of membership driven golf course that you can get in other places. And generally, I think golf participation is going down, so it's quite difficult. So it's quite difficult to grow the traditional golf game. I think we need to look at maybe bringing some alternative uses that we can fit in with traditional golf, as I say, in order to drive up the income.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you're looking at that. And what's the sort of time frame for?
Well, there isn't a time frame at the minute. We're just exploring options, and as I say, that it would require some investment. So there'd need to be a business case and a return on investment for it to happen. I'd hate to invest money in providing those additional facilities for it not to provide a return, albeit. We are providing facilities for the community, but it would have to be cost neutral over a number of years in order to be worthwhile making the investment that we need to make. Otherwise, you know, we might be financially worse off by doing that. So it's quite careful.
Yes, I'm looking at the figures as presented to this committee on the 15th of January, and the 1,368,100 Loughborough special expenses is actually being underpinned by £144,242 underspend in 17-18, as far as I can work out from the figures. And below that, there's a council tax support grant for which I would want to seek justification for the variation between the 18-19 and the 1920, because it looks to me like it's an adjustment figure to make the increase in the Loughborough expenses net from 1194 to 1217 come out at 1.99%. So the crux of that argument is, it seems to me, there's likely to be significant underspend in the Loughborough special expenses again, because that's the track record. And I'm interested to know why the council tax support grant is so variable and so precise in making the amended totals come out at 1.99, because that feels like a bit of a fudge factor to me, just looking at the figures. And the underspend would seem to me the piece where this committee could be playing a role. Our problem is it's always retrospective, whereas what's happening is it's being taken into the figures, used to make the adjustment to get the final divisor down to the correct number for the special council tax rate, the 74.97, it seems to me, because I agree with members' general gist of this committee that it has been a long-held frustration that we sit here, look at figures and go, okay, and have very little to adjust. I think on 1.368 million, 1.5 million, 3.5 last year, we had the great privilege of playing with about 30,000 of that. Which doesn't seem to me to be quite right. So I'd be interested to know the answer to that analysis of the underspend, the council tax support grant, and the arrival at the amended total figures and the percentage increase from 1819 to 1920.
So the basic, I'm sure Leslie can give you the numbers, but the basic way it works is that the legislation 1972 Local Government Finance Act only permits a local authority to raise a rate to cover its expenditure. So you can't raise more than you need. That's not allowed. So you can't, even if 1.99% was more than was needed, by law you can't do that if you only need 1%. So what's happened is that where underspends have arisen, they then are adjusted for in a subsequent year, but you don't know what the underspend is until after you've set the budget for the following year, because you'll set the budget in February next year and you won't know what we spent this year until May next year. So there's going to be a balance. So what happens is that balance is then taken into account in the planning, so that the whole thing neutralises in the end. And what I said at the beginning was, for the past 3 years there's been headroom and that's because there's been an accumulated underspend, if you like, but that has now basically burned away. So those amounts that are available, unless there's further underspending this year, in which case it will happen again, is not available to fund the recurrent budget, because it's only there once. But the recurrent budget is set on the recurrent expenditure, and what happens in terms of adjustments are just to take account of variances between one year and another. That's the principle. So I don't know whether there's anything in the numbers, Leslie, that...
I think 144k, we did actually use that last year to balance the budget, so yeah, there wasn't any increase, and that's actually
So the underspends of the past meant we could afford to do things in the luck parade that we couldn't have afforded in the past, and now they've gone.
I mean, the MTFS figures that are for illustration purposes, the council tax base increase and 1.99 increase provides a budget of 46k. And we have got a small notional increase balance left of about 26k, so that will all help balance this budget. But the adjustments in last year's accounts, we did actually basically balance the budget last year. That's why we've actually said there's no headroom for this year's budget. Because if there was some
next year,
underspends last year, you know, we would perhaps look at the lines that are underspending and actually say, well, there perhaps is some headroom there, but we've had a look overall and it was basically balanced off last year. So I think it's been accumulation of 3 years of no increase. We've now used up the notional reserve and we're sort of back to a status quo. So by increasing the rate and the base, it produces a small amount of budget to cover the contract costs and the inflation.
The more technical solution to that is that we should have cut the Loughborough rate to use all the previously accumulated underspend. But the council did that about 10 years ago, and then when it came to set the Loughborough rate again, they couldn't afford the Loughborough rate because the increase was 19% and the limit was only 1.99 or probably 2% back then. And so the decision was made to leave those underspends, but they're only the important things, they're only there once. So if you're setting a budget, these are budgets that carry on year. So if you've got a £100 budget and you only spend 90, you've still got a £100 budget next year, but you did actually have £10 left, but it's not on an ongoing basis, it's just a one-off underspend. And that is just reflected below the line to try and get it all to balance. And it is used to maximise the increase, so we will use the 1.99% available increase to add resources to the budget rather than not have that and just have a smaller budget. That's how it's done. Otherwise have an even smaller monthly rate.
And the key thing here is about, you know, you set a budget and that's what you desire to spend to deliver what has been agreed. Is there any mechanism that, although you don't know what you've done until the year's closed out, but if in tracking throughout the year you can see that there's a bit of an underspend in some area, is there a mechanism by which you can be a bit more relaxed about maybe slightly overspending in somewhere else to balance out? I'm thinking, for example, you know, community grants is something is quite it's as big as you want it to be, as it were. So you can always kind of grow that. And so it looks like if there's some areas tracking, oh, we're actually going to underspend 10k or something like that. Is there a mechanism to use that as an opportunity to?
Yeah, it is monitored through the year.
Within
and
the financial procedure rules, we are able to provide finance, so budget transfers from one account to another. So that will be monitored as part of Loughborough Special budget monitoring.
So
if we can see something that's underspending, and then there's some areas within Loughborough Special that are overspending, we can adjust that throughout the year.
Councillor Draycott.
Yes, Chair, just following that point then. So rather than us being surprised or not surprised at these meetings once every year, cannot the officers work a bit more with the chair and discuss these opportunities when they arise? And if the chair is minded to think that there's an opportunity for this committee to influence using that money, that it actually comes to the next then area committee. Because otherwise, as has been said, I really don't see why we're actually discussing this again tonight, because no influence at all. We either have a role in this spending or we don't. And if you look at the cost of this meeting and etc., right, and there's not anything else on the agenda at all except this one item, right, we have to be here for a purpose. So it would be really good for the future if we could find some way of involving this committee in this process. So we asked it last time, it's not happened, we're asking again, Chair, right, how can we get involved in this process? And I think the suggestion that you've made is a way forward, and I would support that if that was possible.
Thank you for that.
If necessary, Chair, I'll move that in some form of wording, that during the course of the, I'm sure the words could be tidied up, but during the course of the year, where opportunities arise in this budget, that the chair be consulted and consideration given to whether there's a role for the committee, and if it is, to come to its next meeting.
Could that be a formal proposal then?
It can, and I certainly wouldn't want to suggest anything against that. The way the budget is managed is that there's a budget holder for each of these things, and those budget holders have delegated authority to deal with any violence within parameters that they have. So that's the same with every budget in the council, not just the Loughborough expenses. And these are budgets that they're actually the way we are financing expenditure. They're technically not really a budget, but what I'm trying to say is there's already a control mechanism, so delegated decisions are made, and those decisions can all be looked at by members if they're key decisions that can happen. And I think I'm right in saying that the actual ongoing revenue performance of all the budgets is now reported to the Corporate Services Scrutiny Committee, am I correct about that? In which case that committee would see those underspends. It doesn't mean they shouldn't come here. My only sort of reservation here is that the decision about where budgets are spent is actually a delegated one, so I don't think this would be constitutionally the place to decide where underspends were reallocated.
Well, maybe not agreed here, but could be suggested and then talked to where the appropriate place is.
I'm just suggesting that it needs to be clear what how that would work.
Yeah, no,
really.
That's helpful. Yeah.
So can I just make a comment on that? So historically, Loughborough councillors have had an informal commentary on the budget, and it has over the years. And I've only been a councillor for this ninth year, but I can remember sitting in on meetings when the lead member used to sit there saying, no, maybe, for any suggestions that were put forward. And the idea of that as a discussion item coming to this committee was that it would be able to actually have a home rather than actually, as it used to be, I think probably it was a subcommittee of one of the scrutiny panels. Mm. And it was slightly out of sync with everything else because it's Loughborough-centric and it was a tag on to another scrutiny panel. And whilst the overall budget comes to a formal scrutiny process, the hope was that the Loughborough Area Committee would have an opportunity to actually raise issues, points, etc. And to be frank, actually argue those in front of councillors, because actually at the end of it, it's full council that actually signs off and agrees the annual budget. Mm-hmm. And there's an opportunity for any of these items to, if argued strongly and cases put forward, I would think that probably all sorts of items could be raised with councillors probably before they finally get to that budget meeting, because to be frank, I think every single officer will tell you the same thing, which is you know, the budget when it finally hits that full council meeting is pretty well the budget, because actually the consequences of suddenly reopening it and closing it again are actually quite severe, given the time constraints. But leading up to it, whether it's through this meeting, through ideas being put, or whether it's actually meeting up with lead members, you know, meeting up with Councillor Mercer, for instance, and having chats on a regular basis about things that are happening, for instance, across housing, there's an opportunity to actually put forward ideas, to make a case for why things are important in particular areas, whether it's actually within your own ward or sector-wise, etc. And it's an opportunity through this. Area committee to put forward likewise. It's not a case of actually taking ownership, it's actually a case of actually putting forward ideas and being able to actually express an opinion as to why those are actually well-founded and should be promoted. And I think probably every lead member, as well as officers, will be open for suggestions to be put forward and supported by well-argued cases.
Yes, Councillor Smithers. I was just thinking back, our leaders are talking about historically, and I do remember when we were invited to make suggestions of things that were important. We did have the conservation officer, and we managed to get 30,000 agreed, and we were able to sign off all the conservation areas in Loughborough and get those expanded. So I've always thought that this committee was, well, yes, there's a budget and we need to know what it's been spent on, but it was still an opportunity to identify issues or areas that would go forward. That's how I've always understood this particular committee, that it was a chance for us to actually explore what would be good for Loughborough. So correct me if I'm wrong. So if there are opportunities for ideas to be raised, surely that's still here to be taken forward to whatever other committee that...
I say it, so I'm going to sound like a broken record, so I'll say it again. If you look at the Cabinet papers that are presented to Cabinet on Thursday, you'll see the draft MTFS that is being presented to the to the Cabinet, and in there you will see that there is an income line of £915,000 that is solely derived from Loughborough, and Loughborough doesn't benefit from that. It does go into the general fund, and in essence it does somehow benefit Loughborough residents from the general fund, but that income is solely derived from Loughborough itself. I mean, that's the car parks, and that's a massive amount of income that the Loughborough residents don't get access to. If you're in the City of Leicester, they have their car parks, we pay the dues, and the City of Leicester use that income. And I understand the Borough of Charnwood use that income in a general wider fund, but the residents of Loughborough don't even get a percent of that to spend on directly in Loughborough through these special expenses. So maybe there's a mechanism and there's a proposal that we could work out that a certain percentage, not all of it, a certain percentage of that car parking income is used in Loughborough, specific for Loughborough-based projects, whatever they may be, suggestions from committee members here. But that is a massive amount of income that is derived from those car parks that we don't use any other way. If we were, say, Birstall Parish Council, and we had the car park in Birstall, and we put, and it was owned by us, and we put 20p an hour charge on there, all that income would go to Birstall Parish Council, if that's the land they used, and then they would use that income. But that doesn't seem to happen in Loughborough. I've said it before, and I'm sure I'm going to get shouted down again, but we should have access to some of that income to use for the benefit of the residents of Loughborough.
Can I go back to the legislation? Forgive me if I get the wrong bit, but this was the council tax legislation when it came in to replace the community charge. It's quite old. And we can only levy enough to cover the expenses. The expenses in this budget are net. They're 1386100, but they're 1728600 in the gross expenditure column on the appendix. So if we were to add another £900,000 to this budget, those net expenses wouldn't be 1368, they would be 668. I think that's 30 minus 9, isn't it?
Mm.
Therefore, the Loughborough rate would not be
anything like this, it would just go down by £600,000, and that £600,000 worth of council tax, for special expenses, form council tax, just wouldn't be collected, and we just wouldn't have other money.
So you could
put all the money in there, make them look for a rate nil, but we wouldn't have another £900,000. We just wouldn't collect the look for expenses. We're not allowed to, because we can't preset.
Thank you. Jeff is saying it in the simple terms, but what we'd do is, obviously, you know, it's presented, I'm not asking for the whole 915,000, but we'd put both bids in there. We would fund X, Y, and Z with that money, so, you know, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't matter whether it's half of it, a quarter of it. The principle is, if we put £100,000 of car park income in, the amount to be precepted reduces by £100,000, so the budget is just smaller. You can't have the money, because all income is netted off, just as we do for the council tax. We don't. If we got double the car park income in the general fund, just arguably, supposing it wasn't a million, it was 2 million, we wouldn't keep the council tax the same, because that wouldn't balance the budget. The budget would then have £1 million too much in it. So we wouldn't levy the council tax in the first place, because we've got extra income. So you can't have both. If you've got income, you have to take that into account first. That's just the way the council tax legislation works. You can't precept. We can't say, well, we'll double the council tax so we can have a lot of money in the bank. That's not allowed.
That's how it would. Putting growth bids and get things in there to spend.
But it's all in the same budget, it's the same net figure.
If I can just add to that, obviously there's the income line, which is in the MTFS, the 900,000, which is separately identified, but what's not separately identified is the expenditure, the running costs to actually support the car parks, which is all the street wardens. That has to balance off as well. So if you bring in one item of income, then there's expenditure that's supporting that, like the lines here.
It's very frustrating, but we can't make money on it.
Can I just respond to the point that Councillor made? We did get an answer from the Head of Regulatory Services to the points you raised last year. That was quite detailed. So I think that's still available.
Councillor Forrest.
No, I'm prepared to let Councillor Parsons speak.
Okay, Councillor Parsons.
Sure.
Please.
Can I just get clarification? Can I clarify that the council tax support grant is just a balancing figure?
Passed over to us from central government, and Loughborough getting a share of that council tax grant money. That's now actually
gone
down to zero now, so we're not actually getting that in the Loughborough special anymore. Along with, it was a percentage of the revenue support grant, so that's actually, if you look at the MTFS now, that's actually line's gone to zero. So the special, we're actually getting a percentage share of that over a period of time.
So it's not a balancing figure now.
So if I can just reverse that then, sorry to just follow on with the follow-up question. By my calculation, that means that the current budget level, were that carried forward into next year, is unsustainable without an underspend this year.
Because that money's run out.
So if we don't underspend on the 13688 this year, that 13688 budget, were that the same next year, would be unsustainable, even with the increase that you're talking about to the special rate.
The increase is 48, Leslie, is it? Sorry, I haven't done the detailed calculation.
We have got to balance that off.
So that's the reverse of that interpretation. As I calculated, the 1368100, where that's sustained the following year, requires a special council tax levy of £84, which is an increase above what we would be allowed to sustain that. So without the underspend,
we are not able to sustain that budget. So in effect, we are either calculating for an underspend, or we're going to see what the underspend is and adjust, which was why I was trying to work out whether the council tax support grant is a balancing figure that we can use, which if it isn't, that will be zero when I see these figures next year.
There'll be any underspend from last year into next year, won't there?
So hopefully there'll be an underspend this year. We're creating 46,000 in terms of increasing the base and the rate, plus we've got 26,000 in the notional reserve. There will be a shortfall unless we actually do something about that. We are seeking to balance that budget. You're absolutely right.
Sorry, Councillor Forrest, thank you, appreciate that. Sorry.
Thank you.
Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm starting to go around in circles. Some time ago, Councillor Draycott made a proposal. And in the interests of democracy and transparency, I am prepared to second that proposal, with the amendment that not only is the chair consulted, but also the deputy chair. And I think we should move to the vote.
Can I just say though, Chair, that on the advice that the officers have given us, that doesn't seem possible. However, it is interesting what Councillor Parsons does say, because you thoroughly understand the subject and the budget.
I didn't say that, Councillor Draycott, in any way.
No, well, a lot more than most of us do, right? So I don't really see any point, Chair, on the advice from the Chief Executive. But if it comes back in the same state next year, I'm sure, well, first question would be, is there any point in turning up to the meeting? But second, if it's just going to be the same discussion again, I really don't see the point, Chair. So I'll withdraw the motion.
Okay. Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hear what everyone says, particularly hear what Councillor Draycott says, but this is our opportunity to make sure that we're not faced with this situation next year by dealing with it now. There are issues. Clearly, there are issues raised all around this table. And what I'm going to say then, oh, well, it doesn't matter, we'll let it ride till next year. I think that is most unsatisfactory.
Maybe, Chair, Councillor Draycott speaking again, maybe this matter can be referred to the Cabinet Lead for Finance, and that our concerns and frustrations are again passed on to him, so that he can either email us back a response or we get him to come to the next meeting. So maybe that's something that we could possibly achieve out of this meeting, Chair.
Well, we have to do something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if this financially sounds very complicated. I'm definitely not trying to make it very complicated. The principle is quite simple. We work out what the expenses are for Loughborough. We produce an estimate of what they are. This piece of paper says it's net 1,368. All that then happens is that we levy a special tax of 1,368, and we divide that between the number of properties at the correct rate and come up with the levy. The fact that sometimes we don't spend 1,368, we might spend 1,358 or 1,378, that's just an over or underspend. It has to be taken into account in future just to bring the whole thing into balance. But those adjustments are not fundamental parts of the budget setting. The only other thing that has changed is that there was some hypothecated money in the rate support grant that has actually now been removed by the government, so there is no longer going to be an adjustment for that. So it's even simpler now. We just have to balance the Loughborough expenses to meet, or the Loughborough levy rather, to cover those expenses. This should be no more complicated than that. The only difficulty is to make an adjustment, you have to miss out the interim financial year, because the outturn of year one isn't known until the budget for year two has been set, so it has to be adjusted in year three. So it's all out of step by 1 year, but those are relatively modest amounts that don't really affect the fundamental budget setting.
Thanks for that. No, irrespective of the complexity of how the budgets and finances work, what we have here is a list of items and this kind of
costs associated with it. Is there a mechanism by which we as a group can contribute our opinions as to what those items should be, or the definition of what those items should contain? In other words, to make proposals as to what we mean by such and such thing, or that there should be an extra item on this that can then be calculated into a budget. Is that really what we're looking for?
Yeah, this is the mechanism, Chair. This is the opportunity to be able to say that we think we shouldn't have any Loughborough CCTV, let's switch it off, or we think the community grants are too low, let's put them up. We think that we should be doing something on the voluntary community sector development officer post, or we've got a brand new idea we've never spoken about before. You can, of course, you should discuss all of those things. The question of whether there's enough money to do it when you've done all that, it's then a separate calculation. We can't afford it. That's a later decision.
For me, that's the key point, is that it's far easier, certainly for me as a councillor, and I suppose for others, to get a head around as to what would be good for Loughborough to have, and then because you then have that conversation of affordability and so on afterwards, that we at least have a conversation as to what we think could be done, or some new potential new items or that. Councillor Draycott.
Sorry, Chair, that's the dilemma, because what's in there already has been hard fought for, or is essential or contractual. So we can't reduce or take any of them out. That's the dilemma that we're facing, right? I mean, Councillor Morgan says, you know, put forward ideas. Well, last year at this meeting, we put forward, I think it was two ideas. And as usual, when we got to the budget meeting in February, they'd been ruled out, right? So this is the dilemma that we have. So I think, as Councillor Forrester said, we're just repeating ourselves now, Chair. There's nothing we can do. We just note the report and let's move on, Chair.
Comments. The only question I would ask then, towards the end of this topic, is, we had an interesting conversation earlier on about income. Is there a potential for us having conversations as to driving income, which therefore could, within the overall budget, allow us to spend more, basically? Because we've already talked about the growth in sports and so on.
Yes, I just wanted to agree with you about that, Chair. And when I asked before about, I did ask specifically about the golf course, but also about the wider use of the sports grounds. My apologies, but one bit of my question didn't get an answer, which was what's the mechanism by which the income from these is reviewed, and you're looking at on a regular basis how that income could be increased by increasing demand. And I did also ask about a time frame, and you said there wasn't one at the moment, which it relates back to what's the mechanism. And perhaps there is room for us to ask for a bit of accountability about when and how those incomes are looked at.
The sports pitch income is reviewed annually. It sets part of the council's fees and charges, alongside the cemetery charges and the hire of parks and things like that that we look at. So we do look at it, we benchmark, and we put the prices up. The tendency has been for the last few years to do over inflation increases. But a lot of the pitches have a certain carrying capacity. There aren't an infinite number of football games that you can have on any one pitch in a week. You can only have two or three, otherwise the pitch gets ruined and you can't play on it, basically. So there is some scope to look at whether we're at capacity with those. There might be some marginal increases, but it's not going to make a massive amount of difference. Again, the income side, the other option is you either get more people in or you put your charges up. There is scope to do that, and assuming that you get the same number of users having put your charges up,
that will increase your budget. But if you put your prices up, there's a risk that you won't get the same number of users and you don't increase the budget at all. Mm. You put the prices up and people go elsewhere. So it's a fine balancing act with that. With the golf course, I did mention that we'd looked at foot golf,
yep,
and at Brisbane as well. It isn't in the capital programme at the minute, so there is no funding to do that from capital, which is what we'd need to change the golf course. And the bookings for those would go to Ivy Verde, mm-hmm, in the first instance. And the way that our contract works is that there's a threshold for the total income for sports bookings that comes over to us. If we increase the cost and increase the usage, because Ivy Verde aren't getting to that threshold at the minute, and effectively they're making up that difference, there'd be no net benefit to us at all until we got to that threshold level. So I guess the risk is, in doing it, we'd make a lot of investment and see no return at all in that. So it does need careful consideration. But there are no deliverables for that project because it isn't funded, it isn't in the capital programme at the moment.
Can I also, sorry,
circles that we're going round in, really?
I'll just also repeat the point. If we were to increase our income on any line, that's a number we've been mentioned tonight, including the cemetery, if that number becomes higher, then the total expenditure, net expenditure, becomes lower, and therefore we can only raise a smaller amount of the for expenses. We can't increase the expenditure with the income. It has to be netted off. So we could double the income and still not have any more money to spend on other things than the upper rate. The only way you can really grow it is through the tax base growing and the council tax element growth. Can't do it with the income because that nets it off.
So there's no mechanism to put more into community grants or that to fund programmes and up on a priority list, and you work your way down the priority list?
There is a mechanism. Well, one, it's priorities. So if this table represents your priorities in those amounts and you don't have any higher priorities, you've settled that, those are your priorities. If we wanted to create headroom, the only way that would happen is if the growth in the tax base and the allowance for the council tax increase was such that it created extra money. But you still net the income off. Does that make sense? It's a puzzlement around. But if we had £100 in the tax base and we raised it by 10%, so we had 110, and our expenses only went up by £5, you'd have a spare £5. If there was £120, which 20 was income, and there was still 20 income, and the same thing happened, you'd still have £5. But if the income went up to 25, you'd have nothing, because the £5 would cover it off.
Okay.
So it's just, it only grows when the tax base and the council tax grows, because it's a tax. You can't create money with it.
Right, well, let's try my head around this. Supposing, right, November fair, income of 5,100.
Yeah.
Imagine, miracle of miracles, it was 15,100.
Yeah.
Can we then spend, and community grants says 81,800, could we then spend 91,800 within the year? If there was a way of actually knowing.
Yes, because you set the precept on the estimate at the beginning of the year. So you could do that in year, but if you get to the end of the year and that £10,000 hasn't been spent, that will then sit in one of these adjustment numbers that Councillor Parsons was talking about. And when we set the Loughborough rate next time, we'll have to take into account we've got £10,000 that wasn't spent. So we'll have to reduce the Loughborough expenses by £10,000 so that it still balances.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just build it up. You can't build up. Let's build up £10,000 a year forever and have £100,000. That's not the way the law works. You've got to only precept to meet your net expenses. So by definition, if you've got £10 in the year before you start and you're going to spend £100, you only need to levy £90. You can't levy £100 again and have £110. But if you've spent the 10 before you get to that point, then it's not there. So yeah, you can do that.
So that,
does that make sense?
It does. It goes back to a point I made earlier. If we have the ability to track and make a potential forecast of an underspend in an area that we're comfortable is going to be underspent, can we within the year have a conversation of how to spend that money elsewhere?
You could do that.
Delegated with the chair.
You could do that.
So that's a possibility.
Yeah, that's, well, we've come right round.
I don't know. So what the mechanism of that? Does it sit here? Does it sit somewhere else?
There's a risk in doing that, because if we then overspend in
that's
the year,
the thing, yeah.
because we got that forecast wrong, then the following year you can't raise any more money because it's only 1.99%, so then you've got to cut something.
So basically,
it's all about how accurate it is.
Is there an ability to go a bit crazy in March, as it were, or something? Oh, it's risky. Is there a mechanism, or go? Maybe not crazy, but just
there is a mechanism. But nothing's perfect as you're predicting the future. So
it's
this
a risk.
Is, this
no, you don't know until it's closed out.
This is a 1.4 million budget.
Yeah.
And if we get that right to within £10,000, we've done extremely well.
Yeah.
It's 99.6% accurate. If we got that on every single budget we ever did, that would be a pretty impressive local authority that could do that, or anybody that could do that. So there is risk, so it's okay to say it's a one-way thing, it's going to underspend, but there's also the other side that something might overspend and it might be in March.
Yeah,
and so it's all about the way it's managed and controlled.
If I may, when a long time ago, when I was a local government officer, not in this authority, you're quite right, it gets to March and you have ideas up your sleeve of what, as an officer, you're going to do with any fortuitous underspends that you happen to have. But whether this committee could have some say over that, rather than, as the Chief Executive said, it be delegated to officers, not sure of the appropriateness, frankly.
Through you, Chair, I've got the role and operation of the committee that you agreed at your meeting in June 2018, and one of your roles is to be an advisory and consultative role in relating to budgetary and financial issues.
Yeah.
So it's within the capacity.
So it's with us to almost create a wish list, as it were, that it's possible, subject to whoever makes the decision, we can discuss what's priorities to us, and other people can reflect on that.
Chair, the only differentiation I was making is that the budgetary system works on delegation. So the decision is the officer, but the consultation and advice, of course you can do all that. It's just a question of mechanics of doing that at the right time and in an appropriate way, but in terms of consultation, this body wouldn't be the decision maker.
No, not the intent, but to be able to feed into what
can I make a suggestion? I mean, with all of this, any underspends in reality, we're talking about capital rather than revenue, because obviously, if we add anything that's a revenue item, then that's actually into budget for the following year, etc. So actually that becomes a budget pressure from that point onwards. And that's really where the wish list of items, if there are ways, as Councillor Tillerson mentioned, there are things held up sleeves to be able to actually move budgets backwards and forwards, if at all possible, to try and actually sort of match off a budget item. And maybe I could suggest that you actually, start talking to the lead member for Loughborough, who will probably at that time be in close contact with the lead officers, to actually discuss some of those projects that will actually like to come forward. And if there are others, specific projects you feel that this committee has had a chance to discuss and actually put forward, then they can be put forward with the other items as well. And it could be something as a discussion point, possibly between you and the lead member and the lead officers at that point, so that you can express particular items that maybe can be brought forward at that right moment. Okay. But I suspect it really will be finger in the air to try and decide what is possible and what isn't possible, given the knowledge at that time and the likely run-on
from any other pressures that maybe are still to actually come through the system.
Yeah. I think it's just within a desire of, I think, of this committee is to influence what the list is and what's within the list and what's defined within the list and how we...
And Chair, I just recommend constant dialogue with the lead members and the officers. And it doesn't necessarily have to be formalised through a committee meeting. And we've spent probably the best part of an hour of this meeting talking about process rather than actually Loughborough.
Yes.
And to be frank, we all want to talk about Loughborough.
Can I move then that we take that away and have a look at what might be a good logistical way of managing that for the committee?
Okay, that'd be useful.
Yeah.
So I feel a lot of these is a bit timing and when we can actually input into things. So when do we get the output of this? So you're going to take this away, look at it.
So I think if you want to resolve that you want to be able to influence the wish list that is put forward by the lead members and the officers when they think there's going to be an underspend. Can I also just clarify, there's a couple of other points that came up during that item where you discussed the cemetery provision and you wanted to know what the numbers of residents were that were using the different were being buried. That was something that you'd asked Matt. I don't know if you want to take that away as a resolution. Let me have a look. The number of users. Oh no, sorry, it wasn't the burials, it was the number of users for the
I was going to say for the sporting facility. I mean, there's a finite number of burials. Come back for another day.
So do you want to have that as an action as well?
This is about, I suppose it's about the capacity of the full capacity in certain areas that are as potential for increasing. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, on football and cricket, rugby pitches, they have a certain carrying capacity, so you need to understand the scope for increasing the income through extra bookings. It isn't an infinite.
No, it's not. But
whereas the golf course is probably slightly different.
Yeah.
You do have the scope to get more people through there.
Right.
And really increase the income through alternative uses without changing the site, keeping its original purpose, but extending the site for the use for new customers as well.
Okay. So, do we have the actions from that? Okay, thank you for that. Moving on. Moving on to item 6. I think before we go on to, I suppose, item 6, which is the meeting dates, there's a brief point, if there are any other businesses you've got to raise. And it's just, I'm just not making any proposal, but I'm just kind of raising it. And that's the, because this purpose of this committee is about an advisory sort of the body for, things affecting the strategy that impact upon the Loughborough town area. There is, of course, this significant piece of work, the draft Chartered Local Plan 2019-36, that, as I believe, is going to Cabinet on the 17th of October. And then, subject to approval, you then have a 6-week public consultation. It kind of feels like there could be value in this committee discussing Loughborough-specific aspects of that plan, to just as a forum to collate views from different councillors, and for that to be one of the feeds that go into the consultation, which will then be analysed and influence the final draft that comes out next year.
Chair, it would be unusual
for a committee of the council to actually give recommendation to the council's own local plan.
Right.
It is. I've actually had some discussion with planning policy about this, and is because this committee would sort of be coming out of the council to consider it. It's within the scope of the committee, and then they could feed back to the planning group, because they're effectively acting like a parish council, because this consultation is going out to all parish councils as well. So it is a feasible option. They wouldn't be providing the information to cabinet or anything like that. They would just be providing a consultation response.
Yes, it wouldn't be. Yes, the Loughborough committee proposes this. It would literally be providing a forum where councillors can discuss aspects, and for that to be part of the input, if that's possible, as councillors.
Mm.
The only issue, though, is, of course, the consultation closes on the 16th of December, and we don't meet to the 18th of December, so there's an issue there to be tackled if people feel there's value in having such a forum. Did Councillor May want to say something?
Yeah, I definitely do think there's value having a consultation, because that's what we were set up for, I think. And I think if the consultation closes on Monday the 16th of December and our meeting isn't until Wednesday, potentially move our meeting a week earlier.
Is it possible for us to have a submission through you, Chair?
The meeting on the 18th of December at the moment is in position for you to have a look for special expenses budget update report of any comments that you have raised in this meeting. So that's why that is set at the 18th of December. So that's it fits into the sort of circle of how that works with cabinet and what have you. So I don't know whether you want to continue with that, and or whether you wish to move it or add in an extra meeting.
I think through you, Chair, and I think with the consultation with the committee, there isn't any actions really from this meeting that we need to discuss on the 18th that are, you know, that important. And I think the suggestion that we feed into the Loughborough development framework is more important. I think the 11th, if we move it back a week onto the 11th, would that be a suggestion that members would agree with?
What's the general feeling of this committee? People come.
Yeah, because that will then give us enough time to feed into the consultation. If parishes are, I think the local councillors should, outside of their political.
This is simply a forum of Loughborough councillors as Loughborough councillors, and expressing perhaps a variety of views that will all be just collated and then feed into the consultation.
That's a good suggestion. Thank you, Chair, for that.
So we move the meeting to the 11th, as Councillor Mears said.
What I will do is I'll double check there isn't another meeting on that date. No. So subject to no other meetings, then we'll move it back to the 11th.
Okay.
People need to go now.
Okay, so we'll be informed if that is possible. People are agreed, Councillor Mears?
Okay, yeah, just for future agenda item, actually. I wanted to find out what was happening with the town centre. The town centre master plan, we haven't had any updates, and I think that's important. And if our agenda isn't as heavy on the 18th as we thought it would be with the special expenses, maybe we could have an update on the town centre master plan, but also the potential funding for that. For our high streets, I think something was muted, and I think an update of that from an officer would be appreciated.
Yeah, because that's going to be a substantial.
It's a substantial amount of
item,
money. Yeah.
And it'd be useful just for us to be aware.
And it is targeted at Loughborough rather than the wider borough.
So what's happening and what's going on? There's a lot of potential there. So would that be that'd be also an additional item?
Thank you for the 11th or whatever date we have that meeting.
Yeah, and otherwise the next meeting day after that is still the 18th of March 2020. Is that everything? Right, well, the final thing, of course, I have to say is the Chief Executive, this is your last final meeting.
Not the Cabinet,
sure. Right, okay. Well, I'm sure on behalf of all of us, I would like to extend the thanks for the support you've given us. And it's been certainly useful for me to have had your advice. And so on behalf of the Loughborough Committee, I thank you very much for your help. And,
oh, well, thank you all very much. Thanks for your kind wishes, and it's been a pleasure to help and advise as best I can. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
One. Yes.